Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
Well, very thankful to Gene for laying the foundation for my talk on very well on Tuesday. So what I want to talk about, as you can see on the slide, is I think hopefully we would all agree is the most important decision that we ever make in our lives. And I'm not talking about the decision of what we're going to do when we grow up or where we're going to go to college or even who we're going to marry. I'm talking about the decision of whether or not we're going to follow Jesus. And it's a decision I know all of us have made. But I have been thinking a lot about this topic the last several months for a variety of reasons. And I want to really delve a little deeper into what the question of what does it mean to follow Jesus? You know, I know that even the best churches have those within them that are not true followers. And we know that even from the first century, when John writes in 1 John 2:19 that the word went out from us, but they were not of us. Or they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they had been of us, or let me start again. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. In other words, even in the first century church, even with one of the apostles as one of the leaders in the church, there were people within that church who were not true believers. And so it's an issue that I think we would regularly deal with in our own churches and perhaps to some degree with our members. And so that's why, in part, I wanted to bring this up. But I have three goals. We'll see if I accomplish these goals. I want to try and bring clarity to the issue and lay out definitions of what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. But I think I also need to talk about the whole issue of judging, because that's kind of implied in this. And are we to judge? And what does that mean? And then hopefully I can conclude with a proposal of the right attitude that we should have for those that may be not following Jesus the way they should be. So with that, I grew up spiritually in a Baptist church, Southern Baptist church, probably like many of you. Now, I didn't grow up literally in the Southern Baptist church because when I was growing up, my parents took me to an Episcopalian church, and I didn't really come to know the Lord until I was in college. And after I came to know the Lord, it took me a while to find the right church, but while I was in my residency in obstetrics and gynecology, the Lord led my wife Kathy and I to a Southern Baptist church in Columbus, which was very helpful in getting me grounded in the Word and an understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. And it was the first time I really heard the word saved a lot, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard saved. My story of coming to the Lord is a whole different issue. I don't have time today to talk about it, but it was clearly a God thing. But it was a little confusing as we went to this church, and then when I started practice, we were at another Baptist church in the small town where we lived. And of course, it was always every week, it was the decision to come forward and accept the Lord Jesus in faith. And it was a little confusing to me because it seemed like that's all you had to do. You come forward, you express faith in Jesus Christ, and then you were guaranteed to go to heaven. And I know early in my faith, I thought, okay, wow, that's really fairly easy. But later on, I began to wonder, is it really that simple? And especially as I began to study parts of Scripture, such as this one. You know, here's Jesus saying to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, I wasn't hearing that very often in the church I was in. I was just hearing, all you had to do was come forward, accept the Lord, and boom, you're saved. So for a long time in my walk with the Lord, there was this confusion or lack of clarity as to what it really meant to be a true follower of Jesus. And it wasn't until I began to study the words, actual words used in the New Testament, to see that there is a problem. One of the problems related to this is the English words don't exactly mean and have the depth of the Greek words that are found in the New Testament. And of course, one of those words is the word believe. Now, we've all probably memorized Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you know, for we are saved by faith, through grace, not of ourselves, not by works, so we cannot boast. But again, what does that word believe mean? What is faith? So the best example I have ever heard, and I don't know if any of you have heard it before, is a picture of a bulletproof vest. So if I were to hand you this bulletproof vest, let you hold it, feel its weight, you could feel the thickness and whatever is contained and how hefty it is. And then I were to ask you the question, do you believe that this would stop a bullet? More than likely, your answer would be, yes, I believe. This is a bulletproof vest. It feels heavy. It feels very dense. And yes, I feel very likely that it's going to stop a bullet. But then if I were to ask you to put that bulletproof vest on and have someone shoot you, would you answer yes? Probably not. But that's really what the word faith in Scripture means, is that we don't stop at an intellectual belief that Jesus is God and is our Savior. And I think our churches are filled with people that say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe He died for my sins. I believe He died on the cross and that I'm saved by His blood. But that's only an intellectual belief. What we really need to do is put that faith on us. And as Scripture says, and Jesus says, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. That's an entirely different thing. And I believe this is one of the major misinformations within our churches today, because a lot of people are walking, believing that they are followers of Jesus, when in fact, they have not taken this step to really put on their faith in the same way we would put on a bulletproof vest and allow someone to take a shot at us. So I'll go into that a little bit more in detail. So here we are with a group of people following Jesus, and you might say, you know, are all of us really part of that team? Are all of us together? And are all of us going to go to heaven because we've come forward or whatever? And I want to remind you some other words of Jesus that should get the attention of each and every one of us that are followers of Jesus. And again, these are the words of Jesus out of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between those that Jesus will recognize or Jesus knows and those He does not? It's not those who have expressed a belief in Jesus Christ. It's the one who does the will of my Father. And that's a very important distinction. Now, I don't mean to throw out and put you all in grave doubt of your salvation situation. But on the other hand, I do think it's important for us to regularly, semi-regularly evaluate our relationship with the Lord. If we rest on going forward when we are back in the eighth grade at a campfire and our ongoing attendance in church, and that's it, I think we're gravely mistaken. That's my opinion. Because, again, what does Jesus say? If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's the words of our Lord. So, I have some thoughts of what it means to follow Jesus, and some what I would call characteristics of following Jesus. And I don't think I clearly want to make, and this is the danger with this, I don't want to have anyone doubting their relationship with the Lord so that every day they're in question. But I think there's a long way between that and the situation I've described where someone depends on walking forward at a campfire in the eighth grade and they know they're going to heaven. We need to periodically be looking at some of the characteristics and how closely we're following after the Lord. And the first characteristic, I would say, is that we are regularly asking the Lord what His will is in a certain situation, especially at pivotal moments in our life. My wife Kathy and I served as youth leaders in this Baptist church in Ohio for about 10 years when our kids were in junior high and high school. And so we had the opportunity to go to graduation ceremonies and graduation parties. I assume that even here in Tennessee that you do that. And I was always amazed at how at those parties the people in the church, even the leaders of the church, would ask the graduate, well, what do you want to do with your life? Where do you want to go to college? What do you want to major in? And those are okay questions for non-Christians, but I often thought, why aren't they slightly rephrasing it to the form of, what do you sense God is calling you into? Now, a slight change in words, but profound change in the direction of the question. And yet, in those 10 years, I have no recollection of any church leader asking it in that way. It's almost as if, even in this very conservative Baptist church, people are used to thinking that our young people are going to grow up, they're going to go the direction they want to go, they're going to major in whatever they want to major, and they shouldn't really ever bring God into that question. Though they would never admit that, that's the way they were acting. So I think one of the characteristics of us that are truly following after the Lord is that when a big decision, or even medium, sometimes small decisions come up, that one of our first responses is, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this situation? Which direction do you want me to go? And next year, I will have been following the Lord for 50 years. That means I'm very old, and I am. My kids will say that I'm ancient, as old as dirt. But I can say that looking back on my life, that when I have truly asked the Lord's direction in a particular situation, He's always come through. I'm not saying He gives me the notes that I want at the bedside table. I mean, I'm like many of you. I just would love it. Lord, just write down through the night what you want me to do the next day. I'll look at the pad and I'll go do it. You know, it'd be a lot easier, but He doesn't work that way. And it's also interesting that, you know, we've all memorized Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where we've been saved by grace through faith, not of works, right? But we often forget Ephesians 2, 10, which says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Right there. We are to be doing the works that God has called us to do. So that's the first characteristic. Second, do not be surprised that there may be an element of self-denial that you are being asked to undertake in following that will. In fact, I would say that if this is exactly, if you're looking at a decision that's exactly what you want, and you're saying, I think the Lord's leading me that way, not that He couldn't be, but you want to take a step back and make absolutely sure. Because, again, in my experience, there has been an element of self-denial in any major time that I've been asked to follow the Lord. And I will also testify that that self-denial was far greater in my mind than what reality ended up turning out to be. I'll give you a quick example. 1998 and 99, I'd been in practice of obstetrics and gynecology for about 17, 18 years, and I was feeling the Lord calling me out of that practice. And that was hard because I loved the practice of medicine. I loved the interaction with patients. I loved the ability to have an impact. I also, you know, had put in lots of years of getting to that point through college, medical school, and residency. And I was sensing God saying, and He was saying to me at that time, "I want you out of medicine." And it's kind of like, you know. But after several months, I gave in and said, "All right, Lord, I'll do it." And I actually began, I don't know if Gene remembers it, but that was when I began volunteering here at CMDA with MEI. And the Lord is so gracious because after about 6 months, He said, "Okay, I want you to go back into medicine one day a week." I had no idea that I could even do that. It was office gynecology. I wasn't doing deliveries anymore, but God opened the door and allowed me. So it was almost as if He was testing me initially, and then He said, "Yeah, I know the desires of your heart. I'm going to let you go back into medicine." And so that was perfect for me. I got to have the patient interaction and see a lot of the patients that I had delivered. And so anyway, all that to say is don't be surprised there's an element of self-denial. And in fact, if there isn't, really make sure that it is truly the will of God. And then you want to take up His cross, like I did. You want to take up that time and say, "All right, Lord, I don't know where I'm going. I'm leaving medicine. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to trust in You." And you take up your cross, as Jesus says. And then you want to follow close to Him. And in my mind, that means engendering, developing certain habits in your life that keep you close to Him. Critical and most important in my mind is the habit of devotions. I don't think they are optional for those of us who are really serious about our faith in Jesus. I think we ought to skip a meal before we skip devotions. And how you do them and when is another matter. But as long as you are meeting with the Lord every single day, roughly at the same time, and spending time not just in His Word, but listening to His still, quiet voice. So, as we progress in our walk with Jesus, we'll find as we look around that there are some that are following close, and there are others that are not following so close. And it brings up this issue and this question and command from Jesus. Don't judge so that you won't be judged. For with whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with whatever measure you measure, it will be measured to you. All right, that seems pretty clear. I'm not to judge anybody. But 4 verses later, Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Well, I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is not talking about animals. He's talking about people. So how do I decide who's a dog or a pig without judging them? I had to think about that for a long time because it's very confusing at first. And there are other scriptures that talk about us evaluating, in essence, the walk of our brothers and sisters. Without going into a lot of detail, the term that Jesus uses in Matthew 7:1-2 is a term that is krino in the Greek, and it means to pass judgment on somebody, and especially in terms of their eternal destiny. In other words, to say to somebody, "You're going to hell," or "You're going to heaven." That is not in our purview. We don't have the right, the ability to know. We should never, ever do that with any other individual. And I'll admit, that can be difficult. Give you an example. When I was working in the anti-human trafficking realm, I served as a co-chair on a committee, a national committee setting up protocols for hospitals on how to identify victims of human trafficking. And my co-chair was a retired abortionist. I had to meet that person several times in person. I had lots of phone conversations. And she was very proud of her abortion profession, I guess you would say. She was now retired. She was living well. She'd made a lot of money. She was absolutely convinced that she had helped hundreds and hundreds of women when I recognized that she had killed hundreds and hundreds of babies. So it was tempting for me to look at her and say, yeah, you're probably going to go to hell. But Jesus, we never know. And I can only pray that that woman, I mean, clearly what she needs is the blood of Jesus, just like all of us. She needs to have her sins forgiven. And if she were to turn to Jesus and put her faith and her trust in Jesus, she would be going. I would see her in heaven. So that's what we're not to do. Instead, we are called to discern. So we don't ignore what's going on with everybody around us, but we are called to discern. And specifically what Jesus means in that particular passage in Matthew is that we are to discern their openness to the gospel. A dog or a pig is someone who's completely closed off and at that moment in time is not really wanting to listen to what you have to say. And Jesus is saying, don't throw your pearls before the pigs. So we are to discern acts and attitude of those around us, our brothers and sisters, and even our non-believers, so that we can properly relate to them. But be careful not to cross the line where we pass judgment on them. So, my responsibility, our responsibility, following Jesus. And to do that, and make sure that we're following close, there is one other responsibility that James gives us as we look around. Where James in James 5 says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. What a tremendous gift we could give to somebody else. We have to, first of all, discern that they are going a direction that God doesn't want them to go, and we have to do that prayerfully, and then we have to lovingly come to them, not with a judgmental attitude, but lovingly come to them and try to draw them back into following Jesus. So, in conclusion, several things to remember. First is that make sure that your faith is not of the simple intellectual believing kind, but that you have actually placed your trust, your life, into the hands of Jesus, where you are not questioning what's happening, but you know that he will take care of you and lead you in the way that you want to go. Second, we want to stay following Jesus very closely by developing the right habits, devotions, going to church, regular Bible study, regular fellowship with other believers that keep us following closely after him. Remember, we are to discern and not to judge. And there is a difference, even though it's confusing. So, finally, if we are given the opportunity and we know of a brother or sister who is beginning to wander from the faith, prayerfully consider restoring those around us in love. So let's pray. Father God, I give you thanks for the way that you have been so faithful in my life over these past 49 years. You have forgiven me my sins. You have loved on me in so many different ways. You have been faithful to me even when I have not been faithful to you. And I give you thanks for that. And I give you thanks that you are the loving and forgiving God that you are. And I just pray that you will work in each of our lives. If any of us is not closely following after you, I just pray that through your Spirit you will gently convict us of that, help us to struggle against that ongoing battle with sin, and to experience the joy that comes with following closely after you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.